reading Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. We're going to have a look at Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5 this morning. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Well, first of all, just to put this into context, what is interesting is that these blessed truths, called the Beatitudes, were preached by Christ to all the multitude that gathered by the Sea of Galilee. Verse 1, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, these truths are for all. And they give us the secret of a blessed or a happy life. I think that anyone would agree that, in one sense, happiness is what we all want. The question, though, that is not always agreed in terms of the answer to that question is not always agreed, because how do we achieve that happiness? Well, most people would say, if you talk to the world, well, you're happy if you have a happy family and you have no cares, so you have lots of money. That's usually what people say. And yet, we know, just by reading the papers, that the people who are the most unhappy are so often the richest. The people who chase after the wealth of this world come away disappointed. There's nothing there in the end. And that someone who chases after wealth in the end will find that they never have enough. And all they do is accumulate more and more worries to them. The tyranny of watching the stock market, wondering whether there's going to be a crash, and suddenly you'll have nothing. Perhaps we can take an example from the children in front of us. I wonder, children, whether you think about where your next meal is coming from. I don't suppose you give it a second thought. You expect it. It doesn't worry you. You're happy. So often we all look back to childhood as being the happiest days of our lives because we're carefree. Especially when we've got loving parents and brothers and sisters around us. But somehow when we get older, we lose our focus. Well, Christ meant not only to bring our focus back to what makes us happy, but to give an eternal perspective, so that the blessings that he is teaching are not just blessings for this life, but blessings for all eternity. Of course, these blessings that we're looking at are in some ways interlinked. But I would like us, please, to focus today on verse 5. Blessed are the meek. Well, it's a trite saying. It's a saying that I don't need to probably repeat, but I will, just for the sake of completeness, that meekness does not mean weakness. A meek person is a person who is under the control of a higher authority. And the best description that I can give in my own experience is to compare a horse that is broken in with a horse that is wild. Last weekend I went to a wedding down in just outside the New Forest in Hampshire. And I don't know if you know, but in the New Forest there are lots of ponies that run wild around. And you could be forgiven for thinking that those ponies are really happy because they can eat whatever grass they like and no one's going to tell them what to do. The only problem is that those ponies will never reach the potential of a horse that has learned to be controlled by a human being who can then show that horse its potential, whether it be as a racehorse, whether it be as a horse that would compete, or just a horse that will go on rides for a family. A horse that is controlled, can be controlled, is a horse that will fulfill its potential. And just like that, it's just like that for us. It's just that we're not to be subject to another person to control us. We're not to be puppets on a string, but we are to be under the authority of God Almighty. And it's only when we live under that authority that we will be happy in this world. And doesn't that make sense? Because God made this world. And if he made this world, he knows how his people will be happy in it. Well, then to be meek is to be obedient. Obedient to the call of God. And where do we look for the greatest example of meekness or obedience? Well, we see it, don't we, in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And if you go a little bit further on in Matthew chapter 11, you come to these well-known, wonderful words of comfort to all of us in verse 28. This is what the Lord Jesus says. "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." The Lord Jesus came to this earth as the Son of God, the greatest person who ever lived, because not only was he a human being, he was God as well. And of course the Jews expected a political leader who would lead them to political victory, just as the kings of old had done before him. But that was not what the Lord Jesus came for. The Lord Jesus came to rescue mankind from himself. The problem with the human spirit is that the human spirit is so full of his own ways. It says of a backslider in Proverbs, a backslider in heart is full of his own ways. Do you want to test where you are in your walk with the Lord? Just have a think of the things that you're thinking about. If it's all about me, friends, then you're full of your ways and you are backslidden from the Lord. The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 14, verse 11, "For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." In other words, we should consider ourselves as nothing. The Lord Jesus considered himself as nothing. And that was his greatness. We read in Philippians chapter 2 that the Lord Jesus humbled himself unto death, even the death of the cross. If you'd just like to turn there with me. And we're told to have that same mind in us. In verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was in the form of God, but he did not consider that he had to be equal with God. But instead, he made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, and of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth. Friends, Christ knew the secret of a fulfilled, happy life. He came to do the will of the Father. The will of the Father was to save mankind. The way to save mankind was to send one who could be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. A sacrificial lamb. The Lord Jesus was the lamb slain before the foundation of the world. He was a spotless lamb, a pure lamb, because he was without any sin. And he alone could appease the wrath of God that had come down on mankind. All of us, friends, deserve not only judgment, but eternal punishment at the hands of a righteous, holy God. But Christ came on our behalf to die, the just for the unjust, to lead us to God. What was that like, friends? He took the punishment we deserved upon himself that we might go free. He took a punishment he didn't deserve, that we would be exalted, seated on the right hand with Christ in heavenly places. It's what Christ won for us. Friends, he had to die on our behalf because there's no good thing in you and me. You and me are hell-bound sinners, whoever we are. And so, going back to Matthew chapter 11, here is the secret of meekness. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Friends, the horses in the field might seem as though they haven't got a care in the world. But friends, the truth is for you and I, left alone in this world, who doesn't have a care? Who doesn't worry? I remember I did when I was a little boy. You might laugh at this, children, but I don't know if you've ever read Asterix and Obelix. Have you? Is that still something current? Sorry, that was shows probably dates me. I'm sorry about that. It's quite good fun, actually, but it dates me. But there was somebody there, I think it was Asterix, who was always worried that the sky would fall on his head. And as a little boy, as an eight-year-old boy, I worried that the sky might fall on my head. It was a real worry. And you may think it's rather ridiculous, especially if you're eight, but that's what I thought. Because I knew no better. I didn't understand how the sky was held by Christ. I was a lonely little boy on this planet. And without Christ, that is the lot of all of us. You might have a mummy and a daddy, you might have brothers and sisters and friends, but sometimes you're really on your own. Something will happen and you'll feel lonely and scared. It doesn't matter how old you are, but there'll come a time, if you live your life just on your own, that you'll feel so lonely. Outside Christ, that is the lot for all of us. And there's none of us who are normal who won't have a worry as a result. The question is, do we want to carry that worry around us for the rest of our lives? Or will we bring it to the Lord Jesus Christ? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There can be no happiness in life if you're carrying the world on your shoulders. It's another way of describing somebody who's constantly worried. And before I became a Christian, I was the biggest worrier you could find. But Christ offers rest from those worries. Not only from those worries, from those sins, that guilt, because guilt brings its own worry. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ, because he has paid the price for your sin. And you can go, even if you haven't already, you can leave this place, however young you are or however old you are, you can leave here with all of that sin paid for, with that guilty conscience made clean, if you do what the Lord Jesus Christ tells you. Come unto me, all you that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let us come with that weight of sin or that weight of worry and leave it with the Lord Jesus, who has paid the price for our sin. And then he tells us something else. That is the rest of faith, friends. That is the rest for the unsaved person. That's the rest that we all need to come into if we're going to heaven. But there's a second rest, and this is a wonderful rest, and this is what the Lord Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 5, verse 5, that the meek will inherit the earth. There is the rest of Christian service. Did you know that being in Christian service, following the Lord Jesus Christ, is restful? It shouldn't be a burden to us. Take my yoke upon you. Any servant will wear a yoke. Any ox will wear a yoke. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. There is a yoke that each of us has to bear. But it's a light yoke. It doesn't rub. If any of you have had to go for long walks with rucksacks on your back, I don't know whether you have children, with lots of heavy books in your packs, or a new pair of shoes and you'll get blisters if you haven't worn them in, or if you're sort of straps, I've had it on my back. I once did a very silly thing. When I was in the army, I had to take a very big pack and go on an early morning run, and we had to make it heavy enough ourselves, and the one of the ways to make it heavy was to put a boot in it, a heavy boot. The only trouble is I put the boots so it was right against my back. And when I run for 6 miles, I took my back off and it was raw. See, that's the difference between the Lord Jesus' yoke and the yoke of this world. The yoke of this world will wear you down, but the yoke of Christ will not cause any trouble at all. His yoke is easy, and his burden, the burden that he gives you in place of the burden of this world and all its worries, is a light one. When you walk with Christ, friends, you walk in the light. And there's joy in your soul. It's the inheritance of being a Christian that you should be joyful. You and I should be joyful as Christians. There's a joy in knowing Jesus. I hope you know that joy. And if you don't know it, ask the Lord for it. He'll give it to you. We've got an inheritance, friends. And joy is part of that inheritance. Not a false happiness. We're not making ourselves appear cheerful just to put on a brave face. But as we walk with the Lord, we can't help knowing the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Inheriting the earth means inheriting the blessings that God has for us in this life. What's true happiness? I don't know what you each think it is. I remember being asked that question. And I'm going back to what I said at the beginning, really, because before I was a Christian, I thought that my happiness would be in being very rich, having a very big house with lots of land, and sort of pretending, I suppose, I was a sort of my own king. But somebody who was challenging me about my ambitions pointed out that in those days, again, it dates me, I'm afraid, he said, you know, what would happen if the Russians came and took it all away? What would I have then? Well, I realised I'd have nothing. But it was strange to me, even as I thought about it, because I realised that when I had been on my gap year, I'd been perfectly happy with nothing. Just as you children, no doubt, are perfectly happy, not thinking about what the future holds, but just enjoying today. Friends, inheriting this earth means living life as Christ meant us to live it. And we've got the testimony of God's people to confirm that that's true. Look at what Paul says. And this is a wonderful secret that I hope each one of us will realise for ourselves. In Philippians 4, verse 11, we read this. Not that I speak in respect of want or in respect of need. For I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed, both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and suffer need. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of need or want, but I have learned in whatever state I am, therewith to be content. That is inheriting the earth, friends, isn't it? Because that's what life's about. Being content. And we're told in 1 Timothy 6, be content with such things as you have. Have you learned that secret of contentment? Because in Christ, friends, we have all that we need. One of the things that I noticed when I became a Christian is that I no longer fear dying. Some people don't fear dying as a sort of matter of course, but most of us are normal and we do fear death. There's nothing wrong with that, it's natural. But in Christ, friends, there's no need to fear dying, children, when you've given your heart to Jesus. Because you know that he's conquered death, and the other side of death is heaven. And so Paul writes, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. It only gets better for the Christian. So all that fear is gone, the fear of the future. And the Lord Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, for sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And when we say don't worry, it's friends, because we've got a friend to give our worries to. I've known times when the mountain ahead of me seems so tall and so big that I'd no idea how it was going to be moved. I had that in a trial I did, and I remember praying with Brother Ernie when I was about to face the judge, and I thought it was going to be the end of it. And I remember praying, Lord, you are my Ebenezer, for hitherto hath the Lord helped me. And I knew that the Lord would help me that day. And you know, it was as if we went through the Red Sea and it parted in front of us. The judge was not worried at all by the problem I presented him with, and we continued as if nothing had ever been a problem. Friends, when you give your cares to the Lord Jesus, it's not just that you forget about them for the moment. He will do something about them. It says, be anxious about nothing, but with, I think I'm going to get this slightly wrong, but present your requests to God, for he cares for you. when we've got a worry, bring it to the Lord. He will deal with it. Life lived under the authority of Christ is a life well lived, because he knows the best for you. And the problem for each one of us, and I'm going to come to a conclusion on this thought, is who knows best? And I ask you that question. Who knows best, children? Do you know best? Does your teacher know best? Or does God know best?
God.
Well done. Good answer. Is that the answer you would all have given? Now the question is, good answer, children. Now, are we going to put that into practice? Are we going to say, thy will be done? See, that's what the Lord's Prayer teaches us. And children, you've all learnt the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Are you and I going to say in our lives, thy will be done, not my will? Because the secret of meekness and the contentment that it brings and the inheritance that it brings in this life and, of course, the life to come is submitting ourselves to his will. To be willing to die to ourselves, that the will of Christ will be done in our lives. And friends, there are going to be conflicts. You're going to have in your mind perhaps a burning desire to do this or that. And it might eat away at you. But in your heart of hearts, you know that Christ is asking you to go another way. That's why Paul writes in Romans 12, verse 1, the words that we've been looking at and studying and over the last months, but they're worth reminding ourselves with. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Bring your being to God. Every morning we bring our bodies, that's our whole being, our mind, our thoughts, our ambitions, we bring them to Christ and we put them on the altar, saying, Lord, your will, not mine. And be not conformed to this world. Don't let those ambitions that plague the world plague you. How do you stop being conformed to this world? Well, fill yourself with the Word of God. That's what you need to do. And as you do that, you'll be able to test. Well, first of all, your mind will be transformed. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. That will be renewed when you study God's word. It's milk. It's meat. It's the best meal you'll ever have. And you'll be able to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we're not just to know what the will of God is, children, but we've got to do it. And the way we do it is being willing to do it. I'm willing to say no to myself. Just going back to where I started, the horse. See, the horse is a good picture of the unbroken in life when we live wild on our own, and then the life when we are brought into the control of our master. But I want us to finish on this point, because the Lord doesn't want us just to be like a horse. And sometimes Christians think the Christian life is like being a horse with a bridle over its head and being told to go right or left, go faster, go slower, go to Singapore or go to Bangkok. No, that is not the Christian life. Sometimes it's true that God does speak to us in extraordinary ways. But in Psalm 32, we're shown what God wants from his people. And he contrasts this with the horse. I'm going to read from verse 7. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Notice that. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way that thou shalt go. I'll guide thee with mine eye. I'm going to teach you the way you should go. I'm not just going to tell you the way, I'm going to teach you. There's a way we need to live which the Bible shows us. And when we put the Bible into practice, so often, friends, the guidance just falls out as we walk obediently according to the word of God. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Friends, we're not to be people who simply say, all right, Lord, I'll go right, I'll go left, I'll do that, I'll do that. Now, of course, friends, obedience means we will do what the Lord wants. But the Lord wants our mind and our understanding to be full of him, full of his word. Paul puts it this way, that we'd have the mind of Christ. When we have the mind of Christ, we know what to do, because his word has taught us. He wants us to be people of understanding who willingly do his will, because we have his will in our hearts. Friends, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. If you want the full inheritance of this life and the future life with Christ forever, with joy unspeakable, full of glory, and rewards that no eye has seen or no ear heard. Friends, we need to walk in obedience with the Lord Jesus Christ every day of our lives. Meekness is not about your temperament. Some of us have fiery temperaments, others have very placid temperaments. Someone who's very placid might on one level seem very holy, but it's only a human temperament. See, the placid person may not take action when he needs to take action. Someone who's fiery may take action when he shouldn't take action. But the meek person will come under the authority of Christ, and when in Christ he needs to take action, he will take action for his sake. And when in Christ he needs to stay silent, whatever he feels like in his natural mind, he will be obedient and remain silent. That's what true meekness means. It's no to self and yes to Christ. It's no to the world's mindset and yes to Christ's mindset. Friends, let's pray that each one of us will learn the meekness of Christ. Amen.